Welcome to chapel. Welcome to chapel. All you women. All you men. Women. Andy Kim will be presenting to us today. Andy works with the Multi-Ethnic Ministries Department, doing communication stuff with them. I knew Andy a little bit before Multi-Ethnic Staff Conference, and then we spent a lot of the conference in a meeting room, either staring into computer screens, doing stuff for a virtual audience, or interviewing lots of interesting people. But we had a great time, and I got to know some of Andy's loves. Andy's drink of choice in non-university settings is Dr. Pepper. Or Diet Dr. Pepper. Andy also loves his wife, Madeline, who they are still in their first year of marriage. They got married last summer. She is on campus staff at University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And the other thing is that Andy really loves the multi-ethnic, multi-class, multi-gender nature of the kingdom of God. And we're going to be able to experience that in a great way today. So, Andy, come on up, please.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. It is such an honor to be here. This is my first chapel, so I always love coming to NSC, and this is as a non-NSC national person. This is my home base. So yes, I'm really excited about this morning. There'll be a little talking. There'll be a lot of worship and singing, some discussion. But most importantly, I hope that we have a time where we can worship God together. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we'll do. We're going to actually debut a new 2100 video that has not been made public today on diverse worship. But really, our hope is that God will be honored by what we do, both individually in our worship and corporately as an NSC community. So, so I like us to sing this song. It might be new to some. It might be familiar to others. As a way of welcoming God, who's already here, into this place. You sing with me.
Welcome into this place. Sing welcome. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, so we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto you.
It's really easy. Let's sing it again.
Oh, welcome. Welcome into this place. Oh, we welcome you, Jesus. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto you.
See, one last time. Oh, welcome.
Welcome into this place. We welcome you, Lord. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our...
So we lift our hands.
So we lift our... And we lift, so we lift our hands, so we lift our hands, and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name.
As we offer up this praise,
as we offer up this praise unto you, we offer this praise. As we offer up this praise unto your name.
Lord, we want to offer you our praise, knowing that you are here. You are here in this place. And when your people call to you, you respond. And we believe that you are not only present here, but want to speak to us, want to show us yourself. You want to transform us in this short time that we have to worship you. So we offer all of who we are. May you have your way this morning. Amen. Amen.
Maybe they had these questions, but didn't want to ask.
Why do they sing in all these different languages?
Why are there so many different styles of songs? Why can't we just worship?
You know, normal worship. But what is normal worship? Psalm 63 compares worship to eating delicious food.
I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you.
Worship is God's great feast, and God is the great host that invites us to the table.
Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, worship is our response to God.
We glorify God with our songs and with our whole lives, and we are satisfied as with the richest of foods.
But what do you imagine when you hear the phrase, richest of foods?
Maybe it's a juicy steak.
So off right.
Tostones, dim sum,
hot roast, samosas. Wouldn't it be silly if I said, I can't just eat, you know, normal food? A normal food is different for each of us based on our experiences, culture, and preferences.
Worship is the same way.
Our worship home cuisines can look and feel very different from others.
It can be loud and celebratory, quiet and reflective.
It could be guitar-driven.
Organ-driven. Drum-heavy.
Or choir-driven.
Let out of a hymnal.
Or a cappella.
Perhaps your worship home cooking
is a fusion of multiple cultures.
You see, what's normal worship for you might not be normal for everyone.
God has intentionally formed you through your family,
your church, and the communities you've been part of.
The same is true of the unique styles and genres of worship that you have used to respond to God's invitation.
Think about the last time you tried a food from a different culture. It may have been love at first sight.
Or it may have been more challenging.
Diverse worship is exactly the same way. Sometimes new experiences of worship can be refreshing.
But sometimes they can be uncomfortable.
But now, imagine with us Revelation 7:9.
A glorious picture of God's kingdom at the end of time.
Where everything has been made right.
And everything is exactly the way God intended.
Every nation,
every culture, every ethnicity,
every language,
worshiping together before the throne.
So if this is God's vision of worship that is to come, wouldn't he desire to see it in his people today? What would it look like if our communities were places where all people felt welcomed through our musical worship?
It could look like me taking time to actually learn a Korean worship song.
Or if I invested the time to learn to play an authentic Latin groove. Or if I led hands and responsive readings in a way that respected that liturgical tradition.
Or if I unashamedly enter into a dancing worship culture, even if I feel silly.
God is calling us out of our comfort zones. Through our worship, we can demonstrate how people from every nation, tribe, and tongue are really welcome at the Lord's table.
So let's get practical. Here are three ways we can move forward on our journey of diverse worship.
First, identify and appreciate your worship home cooking.
How would your family, church, and culture shape the way you respond to God in worship?
Second, experience different worship cultures with open hearts and minds.
Visit a gathering or service so you can be exposed to new styles of worship. And when it gets uncomfortable, stay with it. Third, extend hospitality through new worship cuisines.
There may be people that God has already brought into your community, or new people that you can create a welcoming space for.
Don't be afraid to learn a new song in a different language or style.
As we expand our personal and corporate worship, we'll know and reflect more of God and invite others to do the same.
So that we may all taste and see that the Lord is good.
Jen Herman, Dave Huey, Matt Kirk, Gary Nauman. This video is nothing new. This is the legacy of InterVarsity. We interviewed 30 different staff to create this script to figure out what's been the legacy of multi-ethnic worship for InterVarsity, and how have we, for generations, promoted this as a way for God's people to respond to a global God. And really, when it comes down to it, worship is not just singing about singing our favorite song It's not about feeling good. It's not getting a spiritual high or a spiritual tingly, but really, it's responding to the almighty, great, ineffable God. And diverse worship isn't just this kind of thing on the side that's like this PC thing that we do just because we don't want to be racist or whatever. But really, it is the response that we, diverse people, responding to a diverse and global God. This morning, I want to invite us into a four-course appetizer sampler platter of diverse worship. And responding to this God, we believe that is a God of all nations, every people, every tribe and tongue. And I want to suggest three ways, and this video alluded to, that we might respond to this global God. The first way is we can respond by identifying and appreciating our worship home cuisine. Second way, we can respond by experiencing new worship cuisines with open hearts and minds. That's my first chicken casserole experience. So. And as a community, we can respond to God by practicing diverse styles of worship together. And so in this appetizer sampler, there may be some worship styles that may feel very at home to you. There may be some that feel different. But we're all on this journey together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I like to start with a song that's actually a song that's my worship home cooking that I sang in my Korean American church all the time at our all night prayer meetings and sunrise services. This is a picture of me in youth group. It's a song called In the Secret. And to be honest, I felt a little insecure about singing this song because for the longest time I felt ashamed about this song and the way that my community worshiped God. Because I thought it was cheesy and campy and superficial. And it wasn't even written by a Korean guy. Though it's written by Andy Park, it's actually a white Canadian worship leader that wrote this song. But Korean-American churches love this song. And, you know, that's the temptation that I think a lot of us have is to say, when we look at the ways that we've been raised and grown up, the way that maybe our churches practiced worship, we may have the temptation to believe the lie that maybe our worship home cooking was a mistake, the way that we worship, and we wish that maybe we were created somehow differently. And even though we have scriptures like Psalm 139, I want to go to the previous slide, that say that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, it is hard to identify and to appreciate the unique ways that God has formed us. So for me, the journey of diverse worship has meant to actually appreciate the unique ways that God has shaped me, not just individually, but through my Korean-American worship experience. And so now when I come back and sing this song, I feel a sense of pride that I can worship God through the lyrics of this song, not just as Andy, but alongside my people and my family and generations of Korean-Americans who passionately longed for God. And we're going to sing this chorus that says, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. And as we all sing that together, we're not only praying that for us, but we are thanking God for the ways that he has worked in Korean American and Asian American communities for generations. So would you all stand and sing this with me? Sing in secret. Secret in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to reaching for the highest.
know you. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you more.
We want to touch you.
We want to touch you. We want to see your face. We want to know you more.
Amen. 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 You can have a seat. That's the first course. Second course is a song called Mi Alabanza Seguirá. And many of you might know this song from Urbano 6. But for me, I learned this song a couple years ago when I was a student in a varsity. And I actually didn't want to have anything to do with this song, to be really honest with you. Because in our chapter, it was predominantly Korean and Chinese. And I remember my staff worker, Sandra Van Opstel, was like, let's sing the song. And I was like, it's really awkward, Sandra. There's nobody who speaks Spanish in our chapter. It's a bunch of Korean Asians who can barely speak Spanish. This is a little awkward. Can we not do this? And Sandra, she told me, I didn't fully understand at the time. But she said this. She said, Andy, there may not be a lot of Latinos in our community now. But one day, when they do come, wouldn't it be awesome if we said, we have been waiting for you. We have been preparing for you. We are so glad you came. And I didn't understand at the time, but 3 years later, when a freshman named Deborah Sines, who came to our community, joined our fellowship and started the first LaFe, it dawned on me that what she said really made sense. That when we sing songs in different languages, we look forward to a time when all people and all tribes and all tongues will worship. And we actually make a prophetic stance to say, we long for that day. And here on earth, we are pursuing that. So singing songs in different languages is this amazing privilege to be in solidarity with those around the world and to long for his kingdom to come. And so I want us to enter into that song, this beautiful song, focused on Jesus Christ, praying that prayer and singing that song. So...
Hallelujah, hallelujah, mi alabanza subia a ti en las buenas y las malas, mi alabanza.
Sing it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mi alabanza subia a ti en las buenas y las malas. Mi alabanza.
Lord, we thank you that you are a God of all nations. And we come to you not just as individuals, not just here at the NSC, not just InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, not just as the American church, but the church around the world, praising you, offering all that we have and all that we are. And Lord, I pray that as a fellowship, Lord, we want to point our campus and our world to you and the future that we believe in Revelation 7 is every tribe and nation worshiping at the throne. Would you allow us to reflect more and more of that final vision? Amen. That was a second course. Third course is a hymn. And I actually grew up in a Korean church, but it was a Korean United Methodist church. So our pastor, I think he was required that we sing one Wesley hymn every week. And it was just kind of forced on us, so we'd have to sing, oh, 4,000 Tones or whatever. And I am this, like, junior high Korean kid, and I was like, this is the most dreaded part of our service. Why are we singing this arcane language? Can't we go back to singing In the Secret, Please? And it wasn't until I came into InterVarsity, and I went to Cedar Campus, and I was given a dusty old hymnal like you have, and I had people who actually walked me through, not just the how to sing, how to read a hymnal, but how to, what's the value of the hymnal? That hymnals are a collection of songs and tunes and poetry from centuries of the church, and that we can actually join in singing with the church throughout history. And that even the idea of singing in four-part harmony is such a beautiful metaphor for the body of Christ, that we gather around people with similar voices, but also with different voices. And as we go up and down in different directions, that the music that we make together as God's people is beautiful. And I think Harold Best puts it well. You can put that quote back up, Pat. The hymn book has shown the Christian how theological eloquence and clarity can be pared down to a simple couplet, yet expanded into more extensive forms, both architecturally sound and eminently singable. The church cannot afford to turn her back on this rich storehouse. And so this third course is, I think, a really great example of that. It's a short, packed, rich hymn called May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. So you could turn to hymn number 126. I'm not going to put the words on the screen, so you're going to have to read your hymnal. And some of you are really familiar and love the hymnal. Others, like me, you might not be familiar. So I'm going to give you a 30-second crash course that will get you started. And it involves two things. First, you got to find your part. Then you got to find your dot, okay? First, find your part. There's four parts. Soprano, alto, tenor, bass. The most highest register is soprano, next highest is alto, and then the next lowest is tenor, and then the lowest is bass. So we've kind of got you started here, but some of you may want to shift around a little bit. And after you find your part, then you find your dot. So you can see the arrow right there, and the top dot, the highest dot, is your part, and down, down, down. And now once you find your dot, then as we sing this song, you've got to follow your dot. So you go to the next slide. See, it goes like that. You go left to right. You got to follow the dot. And the more lines are under your dot, the faster you sing. And if your dot goes up, your pitch goes up. And if your pitch goes down, your pitch goes... If the dot goes down, your pitch goes down. That's the basic 30-second version. You might want to talk and learn more of the deep stuff, but that's the gist of it. So we're going to sing this in four parts. So I'm going to ask you to pick your part. We're going to start with soprano part, but we can all sing this together. So find your soprano dot. And everyone can join us singing this. Actually, well, let's see. Is sopranos, y'all good? Does anybody need to know where your part is? We're all kind of in the section here. Okay. So yeah, you might want to group. If someone is maybe a little bit more confident, you might need to help the people around you to get the pitch when we do this. So let's start with the soprano part, which is the melody, okay? Now let's do it all together. Find the dot, and we're going to go up and down. Ready? Here we go.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day.
Sopranos, now altos. Here we go, altos. This is your note. Here we go. One, two, here we go.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do
Nice job, nice job. Okay, tenors. Here we go, tenors. May, one, two, here we go. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. Yeah, you gotta follow that dot there. That was nice. Nice job. Now, basses. Here we go. One, two, here we go. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. All right. Now, you got the parts, and as you do this, I mean, part of the discipline is of the hymns, I think, is to learn the parts and to really sing the lyrics of both at the same time, and it's a wonderful experience of worshiping with all that you have. You know, you can't be a lax worshiper with hymns. So we're going to go through all six verses, and I want this to be our prayer together that this is such, like, may the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. And we're going to sing that together in parts a cappella. And I think we're probably the best parachurch ministry service choir in the country. So, review. Yeah, bass, tenor, alto, soprano. Okay, ready? Let's all stand. Let's all stand and do this together. Here we go. One, two, here we go.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say.
Have a seat. We have one last chorus for you, and this comes from the gospel tradition, and I am so thankful my time as a student and a staff for my black brothers and sisters who have kind of helped me understand and enter into the gospel music, the diversity and the beauty that is the gospel tradition, because I didn't understand it at first. I wondered, one, why aren't we projecting lyrics on the screen? And then two, why are we singing the same things over and over again? And why, I thought 10 times is enough. But, you know, what I learned through my friends and colleagues and mentors and through great books like Diverse Worship, an IVP book, is that gospel music came in a time of oppression and injustice where education, let alone a hymnal, was not available to many of the black Christians who wanted to worship God. And so in that crucible of suffering and pain, God created a beautiful worship style that involved call and response and repetition. And I think one of the things that I am so thankful for gospel music is what it shows me is that you don't always need six stanzas to be profound. Right. Sometimes it's one simple truth repeated over and over again that goes from your head down into your heart. Yeah. And this is this idea that gospel music is enters into the pain of our world and our racism and brokenness, and it says there is hope. It's bad, but there is hope. And so this song, we're not going to put lyrics on because it'd be silly. It just says something really simple. It says, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. And that's all the song is. Repeat it. And we're going to repeat it a number of times. This is our last thing we're going to do. And I want to invite us to sing that song until we mean it. And to think about where in the areas of our lives we are waiting on the Lord. Maybe individually, maybe as a community, as an InterVarsity fellowship around the country on our campuses, where are we waiting to see God move? Where in our nation and our world are we longing and waiting for God to work? And we could say, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I'm going to sing it once so you can catch it, and then you could join me. I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. That's all it is. Sing with me. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting.
On the Lord we wait on you. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. On the Lord. I don't mind waiting. On the Lord. I don't mind waiting. On the Lord. God, your word says that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. We thank you for the gift of the gospel tradition that challenges to go from our head to our heart. And Lord, we continue to wait on you. Amen. 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 Well, you can have a seat. You have a minute? Yeah. Maybe 1 minute. Okay. So, that was the course. That was the meal. And for some of you, there were moments where you felt home and didn't feel at home. Some of you felt excited or frustrated. So we're going to do a real short debrief. And how did you experience God in the session? Because for all of us, when we enter into worship, whether it's we call it diverse worship or not, we're all entering differently and experiencing God differently. And so for just a minute, could you turn to a partner and share, what was this experience like for you? Where did you feel at home, uncomfortable, stuck, afraid? Where did you experience God? How did you respond? And maybe let's start with those few questions and just start to debrief. So turn to a partner and share. Okay, well let me bring this back together. So I want to thank you for entering in. We did a fast buffet in 30 minutes. You did great, and thank you for entering in. And diverse worship matters because we are a diverse community worshiping a diverse God. And it's hard because it's like how a diverse community worships together, does life together, and then does mission into a diverse world together. And diverse worship is, a great place to come together, to work through issues, to think, how do we serve and love one another? How do we identify and appreciate the gifts that we have? How do we enter into other people's gifts? And how do we create welcoming, hospitable places for others that are different from us? And so as we continue to move forward as in a varsity, I pray that worship, honoring, focus on God would be at the heart of what we do. And so I just want to thank you for engaging with me, and I want to turn it over to Steve Locker for a building today.